13 was being bullied by pretty much everybody except the druggy kids at her school. So she offered to join them. And our family therapist said, get that girl out of that school. You can do it today or tomorrow, but you're going to do it right now. She needs out of there. Best thing that ever happened to her.
All right, we're continuing the discussion about bullies, the statistics. I don't need to say a lot because if you're a parent, you know the problem. 70% of even school staff say they've been bullied. 160,000 students, according to NEA, skip school because they say they're being bullied. 20% of tweens say they're cyberbullying. That's a big thing now. I mean, many of us who didn't grow up when kids were taking their phones to school, today they can bully right during the day, during a lunch hour, and they can do it in a way that they don't have to face the person. Cowardly, right? That's really what it is. But it's not only in school, by the way. We're talking about bullies in the workplace. You know what? We could do a whole show on spiritual bullies. There are people in churches and environments that are bullying people spiritually. We know that. And that's not right. And that's not God's intention. We're to be loving one another, supporting one another, caring for one another, and helping people be empowered to follow Christ intentionally. That's what our whole mission is about. We want you to be experiencing God's best in your life. And if bullying for your kids, your family, and your life is one of the issues, and the stats are pretty significant, then we want to help you deal with that. And that's what we're going to do. In fact, we've got a retired school teacher, Jill, hang on. We're going to get to you in a moment. But to get us started on the show today, let's listen to Lindsay from Michigan. Appreciate your call, Lindsay. What's your story?
I'm calling because I was often bullied as a child, and having told my parents that I was being bullied, they didn't really believe that it was a big enough deal to actually merit doing something about it. And the couple times that I brought it up to them, and it was a very big deal. Honestly, it continued for maybe eight years or something, through middle school and high school and, you know, and a little bit in elementary school. And you know, and I struggled with depression because of it. Having brought it up to my parents, they didn't seem to think it was a big enough deal to really approach the school about. And so after a while, I just gave up trying to go to them about it. I'm wondering if there was maybe something that they could have done, you know, or a way that I could have communicated to them that they should have gotten involved. And they knew later on when my younger siblings were also bullied in the same fashion that it actually was a problem. But with me, there was little response. So, you know, it's something that God slowly brought me out of. But it was a very difficult period in my life.
Mm. Well, Lindsay, those are traumatic times in school, and we're developing our identity and a sense of who we are and building courage and relationships. And when that gets damaged with bullies, that can be a lifelong impact. And I'm glad to hear that you're finding some relief and release from that, which is important. All right, Jill in Michigan. How are you, Jill?
I'm very fine, thank you.
And you were a teacher for how many years?
30 years.
And what grades did you teach?
I was in early elementary.
All right.
So K-2.
So did you see a change in this bullying thing over your 30 years of teaching?
Oh, definitely, definitely. By the end of my 30 years experience, we were actually being trained ahead of time to very intentionally teach the children. At the very beginning of the school year, Michigan has a law that you go take these modules every single year, and you have to read through what is bullying, what does it look like, how to teach your children what it is intentionally. This is bullying. This is what to do if you're being bullied, and what the bystanders around the child being bullied should do.
Did you see a lot of bullying going on in your years?
Not as much in my grade level, but it was definitely there. There seemed to be always one or two, you know, but once as a teacher, you identify the problem and you teach the child being bullied, you know, to be strong and be courageous. That bothers me. Please stop. If they don't stop, you say, stop or I'll report it. And since the whole class knows that's a taboo, they are more in tune to stop. And then we also would teach the bystanders around this child how to support them.
Bystanders and meaning family or just workers in the school?
Just peers.
I see. All right.
So you would say, you know, that looks bad on you, you know, or please stop. And then you would go to the child being bullied later after this incident and say, are you okay? You know, how can we help? And so a lot of times peers are really strong, especially in the upper grade levels.
So what advice do you give to parents who are listening today? We know this. Well, I have a statistic somewhere in my 40 pages here. I think it was like 35 or 40% of parents. Mm-hmm. It's like at the top of their concerns for their kids is bullying. And what do you say to them as from a teacher perspective?
Number one, I would find out what the school policy is. It should be in their handbook they give you at the beginning of the year. If not, you know, I would find out what it is and what children are to do if they are being bullied. I would teach your child what bullying is, what it looks like and what to do, and how to be a supported bystander.
Yeah, because maybe kids don't even know. They can't label it. They don't know what it is. They just know they don't like it.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
As an adult, we kind of know what's normal or appropriate. Not always. You know, adults can be bullied and not even know it as well or even recognize it.
Very true. Very true.
One final question. We're going, this is, you know, Labor Day weekend. Most schools are either back in session or will be here in the next few days. What advice generally do you have as a former teacher for 30 years to help parents have a good school year with their kids if they're concerned not only about bullying, but just in general as a parent? What are some really practical things parents can do to help teachers like yourself and students to be successful?
Stay connected with your child. Really listen to their day. Know who their friends are. And just support them. It's in any you know, academically, but socially. And be connected.
That's good. You sound to me, Joe, like the kindest teacher in your school.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I said, you sound to me like you were probably the kindest teacher in your school.
Well, you probably have that right. That was my label.
What was it? Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's one thing I can do is read people. So you were, listen, every young elementary student needs a Jill as a teacher. Someone's going to be kind and supportive. And you made a difference over those 30 years. Thank you for your service, Jill.
Well, and I want to thank you because I listen to you and your broadcast ever since I was a small child in my mom's kitchen getting supper with her every night. So a lot of my training, I would say, came from you. So thank you for giving me that edge, and it was very helpful as a teacher.
Well, you're very welcome, Jill, and you just made me feel a lot older than I think I am. The guy's looking at me. Yeah, there he goes. All right. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate your service and what you've done. All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment and hear from Lynette, who the bullying was right in her own home. It was sibling. We call it rivalry. Maybe we can call it sibling bullying. How do you handle that?
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, you know, we're going into Labor Day weekend. This is the wrap-up of the year, of this month, rather, month of August. And we've made available to you this month, for those who are joining monthly, this exclusive site of all of our ongoing teaching from the Intentional Living Center that we put up there, including this month on defining moments in your life. And I want to say thanks to those of you who are standing with us. You're supporting the ministry. You've been a part of it. God bless you. As we close this month, can I just flat out ask for a favor? We need several of you, maybe you and several others, who would say, here's a generous gift. We just want to share with you all to help close out this month of August so we can close strong. And by the way, when you go to the website, we have a special drawing going on right now, and all the information is on our website. I hope you'll go take a look at it. Coming up in September, we have a special emphasis, and you're helping us get to a place where we can be funded, and because we're not going to borrow money. I tell you what, I've made a determination a long time ago. We're not borrowing money to operate Intentional Living. We just use what comes in to go back out to impact people for Christ. Stand with me, will you? Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you do, you can click on donate or call during West Coast business hours today. We'll be closed over the weekend on Labor Day, of course. But you can call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Our friend King Hoover, who is a fitness coach, including to SWAT teams, helping them build mental and physical toughness, talks about how can we help our kids develop mental toughness, which is part of dealing with bullies in their life.
Mental toughness is a simple strategy focusing on four areas. Think of it as a platform with four legs, and each leg has two parts. Researchers call this the four C's model, with four legs being control, commitment, challenge, and confidence. Our first leg, control, is made up of emotional control or regulation, and life control, the impact of schedule, and understanding how organizing our time can help us move further, faster, toward our developmental goals. Our second leg, commitment, has to do with focus, that we keep our eyes on the prize. Its two elements are an achievement orientation, that all progress can be measured, and consistently doing so offers feedback that is always valuable. And the second element of commitment is being goal-oriented. Because we know that progress is possible and can be tracked, it makes sense to pick a goal and move in that direction. Stop just a second and consider how much better your son or daughter would be prepared for all comers and so much more of life's complications if they were simply prepared with these first two sturdy legs to stand on.
Mental toughness. Thank you, King. Boy, he's a great guy and does a lot of work with, like I mentioned, police departments and executives and people who are trying to get physically and mentally stronger in their life. Talking one part of that is when we deal with the people in the world that are bullies, and don't they drive you crazy? They can come in all sizes and shapes. And I'm not talking to the physical bullying. That can happen. Of course, you need to get help when that's happening and deal with it. But it can come in so many subtle ways, intimidation, criticism, just a lot of ways that can be offensive. You don't even think of it, but it's really bullying going on. All right, Lynette, you're really taking us home in terms of bullying, something going on in your own family with your siblings. Tell us, how old are they now?
My boys are now 26 and 30. My oldest would always antagonize my youngest and cause him to do things that would either get him hurt or get him in trouble or break something, or, you know, and my oldest always just thought it was comical. It was entertaining to him, you know, he enjoyed it. So I had to sit down with my oldest son and explain to him that, you know, his behavior, what he's doing to his little brother, is bullying. And home is supposed to be a safe place. It's supposed to be where there is no bullying. There's no mean kids from school. You know, there's no teachers. It's just mom and dad and your siblings, and it should be safe. And explaining to him that he is creating an environment that is not safe for his little brother. And my husband and I were divorced at the time, and we had to sit down as a family and have a talk about, if you don't stop this behavior, you're going to have to go live with your dad, and your brother's going to stay here with me. And then when we split, you'll come to me and he'll go to your dad, but you guys won't spend time together until you can get your behavior under control. And he really didn't like that idea. And it did make an impact on his behavior. We also did some behavior counseling with the two of them and play therapy on being more mindful of each other's feelings and making sure that this is your brother. This is supposed to be your buddy, you know. This is your best friend in life. So don't ruin that bond when you're little. You need that bond as you grow older.
Yeah.
And, you know, just really being open and honest with your kids about life and feelings and emotions and what everything's supposed to really be about.
Yeah, that's really good, Lynn. I'll tell you what, when bullying comes home, I think it can even be more damaging, and it can be between parents. Listen, come on, parents. We can be bullies to our kids, and teaching them the same behavior as they go out into their school and their friendships. But teaching our siblings, yes, they can work things out, discuss things, come to resolution, but not a power control thing, and certainly not violent, and it's not going to be bullying. We don't tolerate that in our homes. And thinking about siblings, I have two older brothers. We're 5 years apart. I'm the youngest. And I don't know if it was bullying, but I mean, I was the youngest. So, I mean, you know, I was what I was. I was unnecessary at times to my older brothers. But I can remember one day I was out, I was just a little one, and I was riding a bike around our neighborhood, and I had a string with a little bike or a car tied to it so I could pull it around. And one of the neighborhood bullies, and I can still picture him, stepped on my string and started to give me a, you know, hat, broke the car, broke the string, just hassling me. Well, my older brother, 5 years older, was watching. Larry might even be listening. He was watching out the window. He came out, chased him down, and beat him up. Now, we don't endorse violence, but I always said that's intentional violence with a purpose, I guess. And it never happened again. And of course, we're not, I just have to give that disclaimer. But the point is, we stand up for each other, and family should be a safe place where we don't have bullying. I think that's a key. Lori Allen, boy, she's got a lesson that she's learned. How do you turn bullying into something positive in your life? Take a listen.
Hi. Well, you're talking about bullying today. And in high school, I was jumped by the rest of the gym class in the locker rooms, and I had my arms and my legs duct taped and my mouth duct taped, and I was beaten. And nobody ended up getting in any trouble or punishment, or, you know, nobody did anything about it. When the gym teacher saw me, he got upset. He was mad, but he asked me who did it, and I said everybody, and he thought I was just lying. And so he made everybody do calisthenics for a week, but that was it. I think sometimes about finding those people and you know, getting revenge, but then I remember Jesus, and I know it's okay.
This is Lori Allen. The kids would circle around me and sing a song about how I was as fat as Santa Claus. No wonder I have an obsession with my weight. The silver lining of being bullied about my appearance is that I generally now eat healthier and exercise more. My blood pressure is great. But sometimes there are no positives to being bullied. If you're the parent of a child who's being bullied, you can definitely still do what my mom did when the kids sang that song. She reminded me of all my good qualities and pointed out that really, come on, I was not as fat as Santa Claus. Lots of love and a little logic add up to a great formula for parenting. I'm Lori Allen for Intentional Living.
Thank you, Lori. That's good. You know what? I was hearing that story of that young man there in the school where there's an extreme. Listen, I know today, now more than ever, probably back then when he was young, teachers, administrators, you're well aware of this concern for bullying. You drive by many schools and they have big bully, no bullying zone type signs on the outside, be kind. And so I say to you who are teachers, administrators, God love you. I know you're in a difficult place many times in the culture we're living today to help, because many times it's just a handful of kids who make a problem. And we pray for you. Speaking of school bullying, it sounds like that's what's going on, Sharon, in your case. So tell us, you know, what is going on?
I have a son in high school who's 15 years old, and he has a couple people that claim to be his friends, and he hangs out with them at school. But one of the friends is constantly pulling him by his backpack. He once threw him against the wall and act like he was going to punch him. Another incident, he smacked him on the head. And this guy that's supposed to be his friend takes it as far as where he thinks he can get away with it. You know, if my son were to complain about it, he would apologize. Oh, I didn't realize that you were taking it bad. Anyways, my hands are tied because I feel like in high school, I can't go to anybody and say anything because it'll bring that other kid involved, and my son doesn't want me to say anything. And I know the kid's parents, and I can't go to them because my son says don't say anything. You know, he doesn't want to be known as a high school level being a snitch is what they call him. But as a parent, it is very, very frustrating. And to top it off, he's a cardiac patient, and this supposedly friend of his knows it. But anyways, so I go down on my knees and just pray that God handles the situation for me. And it has lightened up a little bit, but it's still frustrating knowing that, you know, in these situations, I know that my son's not the only one. And I feel like there's got to be something on campus that needs to be done about this.
At your defining moment, make sure that you've made the decision before you need to make the decision. What do I mean by that? I don't believe that at the moment God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, that he thought at that moment, well, what should I do? He'd already made a decision, see? And when Nehemiah asked that question about the people back home, he had already made that decision in his life. The decision I make to remain faithful to Donna, I make long before I have an opportunity not to be faithful to Donna. Defining moments, we all have them, and many kids right now with bullying, and even adults being bullied, could be a defining moment. Trusting God, standing up, being confident, and doing the right thing, and watch out for the cyberbullying going on. Mental toughness, our friend King Hoover continues giving some really practical stuff on helping our kids develop that kind of thinking in their heads.
Mental toughness is a simple strategy focusing on four areas. Think of it as a platform with four legs, and each leg has two parts, one that attaches to the platform where your son or daughter stands, and the other touches the ground, providing stability in their environment. Researchers call this the four C's model, with four legs being control, commitment, challenge, and confidence. Each leg has two elements, one personal and internally oriented. The other orients outward and is a feedback instrument, reinforcing and informing the inward aspect. Our fourth and final support for bully-proof youth, and that is confidence. As our young people embrace each leg of this platform for their life, their confidence in their life management grows. As others around them that mean goodwill toward them, even those who are more neutral, will perceive a consistent, more trustworthy individual than they may otherwise be encountering. This raises the possibility for positive friendships and a larger, more solid social network, harder to break and far more supportive when tough times come, and they will, as we've talked about. Unlike a normal inoculation, as long as these four elements remain active in the life of your youth, there's no need for a booster. And their immunity to disappointments and setbacks will grow as they continue to lift these four simple concepts on a regular basis. It goes without saying, healthy biblical congregations have supplied and reinforced much of this framework in times past. But in the meantime, by intentionally following the leading of our ultimate parent, who prepared his son for the ultimate in opposition, but also the ultimate victory for us all, you'll do just fine. For Intentional Living, I'm King Hoover.
Yes, you are, King. Thank you. I love his name, by the way. I wish my mother would have come up with a cool name other than Randy. Closing the show today, James, listen, I think you say it well. We just can't ignore this problem of bullying, and we just want to hear your story to wrap it up. Go right ahead.
About the bullying thing, you know, we came across that when my son was in seventh grade. My wife and I were teaching at the middle school and at the elementary school, and he didn't say a lot, but he just got really quiet in seventh grade, and he kind of mentioned it a little bit. But then when he played seventh grade basketball and wore a sleeveless jersey, his arms on both sides were black and blue. I don't mean a little bit. I mean a lot of it. Here's the kicker. The kid who was doing the bullying was the principal's son. And here we are, both employed in the same school district. That was an issue. So we, you know what we did? We stayed out of it, and I regret it to this day. We did not intervene because of multiple facets, which you can just imagine, but it did change the trajectory of his self-esteem, his outlook for the next several years, and he really, really did not come into his own until his senior year. And I know that our lack of intervention was a big factor in that. And it's so difficult to know when it's good and when to intervene and when you shouldn't. So I would just highly suggest that people learn a lesson from my son's sad time in 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th grade because of our lack of intervention.
Mm. All right, that's a great warning. Parents, you got to be involved. You got to be aware. You got to pray. Got to think it through. You got to be intentional. Here it is from me. Be intentional. Be direct. If you're the one being bullied or your kids are, help them learn to be direct. Help them be confident. I don't like that. And when you do that, I don't want that to happen again. Now, I know that every child, that's not always possible because it could be escalated to another level. And so you got to be aware of that and then get outside help. Be alert to the situations and triggers that can set this off. And then aware of the fact that bullies, let's just say it, they're weak people. They're hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. All right, yesterday, today, hope we got you some information to think about, pray about as we start this new school year with the kids and the grandkids, that you can be intentional if they face this in the in their schools and in their relationships. I hope you have a great weekend. We are closing out August. And again, thank you for your prayers and your support. If you could join us with a month-end gift, we would really appreciate it. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. I'm Randy for Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.